Have a seat and take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I was not going to do this. There's probably nothing wrong with me having to have done this. But because of some of the conversations and some of the counseling that we've done in the last 48 hours or whatever it's been, I want to mention another resource to you. My son is a professional videographer. He's part of the church staff at Castle View Baptist Church in Castle Rock. His name is Drew. Drew's done several Christian films and other ministry opportunities. One of the things that he did a resource with his dad. And we put together a six set of videos we call it the Overcoming Series from Romans chapter 8. We teach you in 28 to 32 minutes. All six videos are between 28 and 32 minutes long. They're very practical with instruction in righteousness in the area of depression, anxiety, guilt, inferiority, your past, and I can't remember the other one. But they're very practical six Bible lessons. A lot of churches are using them on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Bible studies, personal use. One of the big areas I want to see, and we're just starting to see it more and more, counselors in churches are using these, and they say, hey, I want you to watch this 30-minute video on guilt. And next week when we meet, there's a study guide that goes with it. If you're interested in the resource, I have a QR code that you can go to afterwards. In some of the counseling that I've done in the last 2 days here, I think the series would be a real help to you. So if you saw me afterwards, I'll give you the QR code, how you can tap in and go to that website and get that video resource. I think you'd find it to be very, very helpful for your ministries, pastor, but also for families, couples, as well, Bible studies, whatever. All right, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, the Bible says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, your former life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Hey, listen, everybody. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Well, we'll come back to that verse a little later. Be angry. We've quoted this verse several times. And sin not. Let not the sun go down upon, everyone together, next word, your wrath. All right? Neither give place to the devil. Come on. We cannot let the devil into our homes. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Everyone's got their place in the family, and everyone's got role and responsibility in the family. Whoa, look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Hey, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now here it comes, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I want to talk to you in this last session on the five most important truths for the home. Thank you for staying. I pray this will be profitable and helpful for the rest of your married lives and your family. Father, help us now. God, take these principles and use them in our life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one, the most important relationship in the home. The most important relationship in any home is the husband and wife. Now, I don't believe we've got anyone like that at this conference, but I want to talk to you right now. So when I preach this, usually it's to a big church or whatever, and there's single parents out there. Now listen, I do not change this point because there's single parents out there. The most important relationship in any home is the relationship between the husband and wife. Now, I've had people come to me and say to me, you know, Brother Scheller, I've kind of failed as a husband, but I'm a good dad for my kids. Pastor, I have not been the wife that I should be, but I've been a good mom to our kids. I want to say right now, greatest dad in this room is a good husband. And the greatest mom in this room is a good mom, is a good wife. I'll tell you right now, that you'll never do anything more for your children than be a good husband and wife to each other. That if your children see the way that you relate to each other, and your marriage is the way to raise your kids. And there is no greater dad in here than a good husband. And there's no greater mom in here than a good wife. That is the most important relationship in a home. Now, single parents, I tell them this. I say, well, then you need to be in a good church that a pastor will help you and a pastor's wife will help you. But I will tell you, you need help. You need support. And the most important relationship in a home is the relationship between the husband and wife. What you did this weekend to make this an emphasis, to come to all of these meetings, to be here, everything since Thursday night, shows your investment in your marriage. And you will never, by the way, you don't make sacrifices to come to a prayer advance. You make an investment. You're not making any sacrifices. This is an investment. And you don't go, well, I'm really sacrificing this to do this with my wife. No, you're not. You're investing in your marriage. And that relationship between husband and wife is the most important. Look at this. Why? Why do you say that, Brother Scheller? It's a picture of Christ in the church. You do not stay forever with your children. You do stay for the rest of your life with your spouse. And it is the picture of Christ and the church. By the way, this is one of many reasons, but this is one biblical reason why I'm against same-sex marriage. In a same-sex, you don't have two Christs and you don't have two churches. You have Christ and the church. And let me tell you something. Your marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. You're supposed to love your wives as Christ loved the church. And church, wife, you're supposed to submit to your husband like the church is to Christ. So it is the most important relationship because it's a picture of Christ in the church. Number two, it's the key to successful parenting. I already talked about it, small c. It is the authority relationship. And whoa, God always works through authority. So wherever the authority relationship is, that is the most important relationship. And husband, wife is the authority relationship. And small d, the relationship gives security, satisfaction, and success to the entire family. Listen, let me just tell you on this first point. Keep investing in your marriage. Get some of those books. Read those books together. Pray together. The reason why I started this conference with prayer, if we could get couples to pray together, it would just make such a difference in your marriage and in your life. The most important relationship in the home, everyone together. What's the most important relationship in the home? That was like terrible, man. That was as lame as I've ever heard it. The most important relationship in the home is what? That was good. Number two, most important person in the home is Jesus Christ. Okay, the most important relationship is husband and wife, but the most important person in your home is Jesus Christ. So I do something a little fun. I like to ask people, how many do you have in your family? Oh, we have five. There's me and my wife, and we have three children. Yeah, you don't have five in your family. No. We have me, and there's my wife, and we have three children. That's five. That's not how many you have in your family. How many do they have in their family? Six. Now, I know that's a little funny thing, but I'm telling you what. Do you live your marriage and your home with Jesus Christ as the most important person in your home? Let me tell you something. Well, Dad, he's not. Well, those kids, whatever you do, do not center your whole life around your children. That's the worst thing you'll ever do for your kids. And let me tell you, the most important person in your home is Jesus Christ. And whatever is good for Christ is good for your family. Start making decisions on entertainment. Start making decisions on vacation. Start making decisions on your diet. Start making decisions on the priority of time, all through the filter of what's good for Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you right now, whatever's good for Christ is good for your family. Oh, Brother Shell, this is such a good point. And I just want you to know our whole family is saved. So Jesus is present in our family. Yeah. I'm not talking about Jesus being present. Well, let me tell you, Brother Scheller, I thought that's where you were headed. We go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. We go to Sunday school. We go to Wednesday night. I'm telling you, Christ is predominant in our home and our family. Yeah. That's not what I'm talking about. Christ doesn't need to be present in your marriage and in your home. Christ doesn't need to be predominant. He needs to be preeminent. He needs to be number one. Everything filters in your marriage and your home through the Jesus filter. And it goes through Christ. Look at some of these things really quickly. He is the person in your home by the Holy Spirit. He can either be present, predominant, or preeminent. What's best for Christ is best for your family. Honor Christ in your home. He will honor your family. Make His will your family's priority. Everyone together, is it wrong for a father to love his son? Is it? No. Some of you are like, I'm not sure where he's going to go. No, it's not. But I'll tell you what God said to Abraham one day. He said, Abraham, you love your son. First time love is mentioned in the Bible, Genesis 22. Take your son whom thou lovest. Not wrong to love your son. And offer him as a burnt offering on the altar. Because you know why, Abraham? You've let your son and your priority of your son become more important than me. And I want to see that you really believe in me and that I'm really number one in your life. It is not wrong to love your son, but it's wrong to love your children more than you love God. It's not wrong to love your wife. It's not wrong to love your husband, but it's wrong to love them more than you love Jesus Christ. And I got to tell you, the most important relationship in the home, husband-wife. Most important person in the home, Jesus Christ. Number three, now we get to the good stuff. The most important time in your home. What is the most important time in your home? And I'll tell you when it is. When someone else is speaking. Now, I gotta tell you, the Shetlers have talkers. I'm telling you, we got talkers. My oldest son is an apologist. He travels the country defending the faith. He is preaching in all kinds of places. He's on TV. He's everywhere. My son can flat out speak. I'm telling you, Ben can do it. I'm telling you, Drew, he's visual, but man, is he articulate in what he says. And every time Drew speaks, it's got something good to say. And boy, my wife can do some talking, and you guys have heard me for the last 3 days. Yeah, then there's Luke. And Luke struggles with communication greatly. And I've learned something. A lot of people say, you know, Brother Scheller, you're a good speaker. You're a good communicator. Let me tell you something I've learned about communication. Communication, good communicators aren't those that use this. Good communicators are those that use these. Because I believe that you will become a better communicator if you learn how to listen. And I don't think we listen to each other. And the longer we're married, the less we listen to each other. Because, okay, are you done? Because I know what you're going to say. You know, really, you don't know what I'm going to say. Oh, come on. You want me to finish the sentence for you? Yeah, I'd rather have you not. You know what? We are not listening to one another. One thing I have definitely learned. The Merrily that I married on August 16, 1980 is not the Merrily of today. My wife has changed. My wife has gone through a lot of things. My wife is not the same person she was at 22 back in 1980. And you know what? I think we think that we know our spouse, but we're not listening. And I'll tell you another thing. We think we know our kids, don't we? We go like, hey, listen, hey, I know what you're going to think. I know what you're thinking. Well, you know what, Mom? You really don't know what I'm thinking. I think we need to listen to our children. I'll tell you where I really got this. I was the dean of students for 5 years at West Coast. That was not the right position for me at all. Let me tell you, I'm not a dean of student guy. But I'll tell you one thing I did learn. It's not what I told those students that mattered. It was what I listened to those students. It's what they were saying to me was way more important than what I was saying to them. And I think a lot of times we are not listening. And I'll tell you, the most important time in your home is when someone else is speaking. And I'll tell you, with Luke, it has taught me so much. I mean, the Shetlers start going on it, and we got opinions about everything. It doesn't matter what you want to talk about. We got an all opinion on them. And everyone is so articulate and so persuasive. But I'll tell you one thing I've seen. And every time it happens, it just crushes me. We're talking about something, and Luke does something. And when he does this, I go like, Lord, we did it again. Luke feels in the Shetler home for him. And this is still true today, even with the spouses and everything. We got all the kids, and we're all talking about something. Luke raises his hand. And every time he does that, I think, oh, Lord. Luke can't get a word in edgewise with the Shetlers. So he's got to raise his hand to speak. Ben, just cool it. Let's see what Luke's got, okay? But I'm going to tell you, I think you got people in your family that are raising their hand. They got something to say. And you guys need to listen to to each other. You just need to ask questions. I have done counseling now for 43 years. And how do you get from the fruit down the twig, down the branch, down the limb, down the trunk, and get to the root of a problem? Well, because you're so discerning and you know the Bible. No, you learn how to ask questions. And when you begin to ask questions, you can start going down the twig, down the branch, down the limb, down the trunk, and get to the root of a problem. I'll tell you what, we think we know everything about everyone in our family. We need to start asking questions. Shame on you. If you leave this conference and you don't ask some questions in your vehicle on the way home, hey, what spoke to your heart? What one thing did you get? And just listen to each other. Most important time in the home, everyone together, when someone else is what? Speaking. Guys, you didn't do that well. I'm doing that again. Most important time in the home, when someone else is? Okay, talking is the easiest thing in the world to do. Communicating is the hardest thing. Let me give you some, all kinds of different rules on communication. I just wrote down four here that are really helpful to Jim Shetler. I hope they're helpful to you. Number one, you got to be honest. The foundation to all communication is truth, is honesty. If you don't have honesty, you don't have communication. People are not communicating in our country today because they're not honest. I'll tell you, you said something the other day, Brother Vaughn, that I just like, okay, that's my outline, man. I put it in a little bit different order. But I used the prodigal son. And I talked, number one, the prodigal son got hungry for God. Or he got hungry. That's who's sitting in the pig pen. He got hungry. Number two, he got honest. And number three, he got humble. And I used the same three things. But I'm telling you right now, the reason why we are not experiencing revival today is because we are not honest. We are not honest with God. We are not honest with ourselves, and we're not honest with each other. You know, Halloween's coming up. Well, us Christians, we play Halloween all year long. We wear costumes, and we are not honest with one another. And I'm going to tell you, the key to communication, the foundation that you build communication on is honesty. You ought to make a commitment with each other. You know what? Maybe there's times where you say, I am not going to tell her that. I'm not going to tell her. But whenever something is said, it will always be on. There's been things that I didn't think Marilyn needed to know, especially about the church. I said, that's just going to hurt her. She's going to pick up that offense because she's so loyal to me. There's things I haven't told my wife, but there's nothing that I tell my wife that's not true. And my wife, she's a prober. My wife has, she's like, honey, are you going to start these questions? She says, yes, I've got a few things to ask you. I'm going like, whoa, she just knows how to zoom it in. But you know what? You got to be honest. You've got to be honest. Number two, keep current. We've talked a lot about that this weekend. You got to stay fresh. You cannot, you've got to deal with things when they're happening. You can't deal with them later on. You've got to keep current and resolve problems. Number three, don't attack a person. Don't go after, with your kids. You are such a slob. Your room looks terrible. No, don't do that. Do not attack a person verbally. And then number four, this is worth the whole one on communication. Stay away from 100% statements. We are masters at this. Oh, you know, you are never on time. Okay, stop. As soon as you say a 100% statement, communication stops at that very moment. As soon as you say, you are always this way, what does that person do? As soon as you give a 100% statement, what happens? You never do this. You're always this way. Immediately, what do they do? Well, that's not true. I was on time about 3 months ago. There was a thing that I was on time for. That's not true. As soon as you say a 100% statement, the person becomes defensive and there's no more communication given. Stop saying 100% statements. Some of you are masters. You cannot talk without a hyperbole and without a 100% statement. It stops and it stifles communication. Okay, here we go. Most important Most important relationship in a home is the husband-wife. Most important person in the home is Jesus Christ. Most important time in the home is when what? Speaking. Okay, here we go. The big two now. The last one's real quick though, but this is the one I want to talk about. The most important action in your home. We've had some little answers on this. Brother Vaughn was excellent what he said during the Q&A time. But let me tell you what the most important action is in your home. You will never do anything in your home that's more important than forgiveness. Forgiveness is absolutely, and here's a 100% statement, forgiveness is absolutely the most important action in your home. You cannot live with people where they will not hurt you. And you have got to learn how to forgive. So I'm going to give you some really practical things about forgiveness that has helped me. First of all, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, love thinketh no evil. Love thinketh no evil. Look up that word thinketh. It's an accounting term. It's an accounting term of keeping records. Love doesn't keep records. And here, I'm going to give you a word. And this is the word I want you to remember. Love doesn't keep receipts on one another. Now, when I get home, Monday afternoon, I'm going to be home. And when I get home, Marilee's going to give me a big kiss. I'm going to give her a big hug. I'm going to tell her I miss her. She's going to tell me she misses me. And we're going to have a nice time. And within 2.5 minutes, Marilee is going to say, Jim, give me the receipts. Oh, yeah, the receipts. What about your travel receipts? Yeah, I think I got one in my wallet. And I think there's one in my suitcase. And I know I got a couple sitting in the car. There's a couple receipts. Jim. Now, so I don't have a 501c3, whatever. I don't have this is just me now, okay? I'm not under West Coast. I'm not under a church anymore. This is just me. It is imperative that I keep receipts because if I don't keep receipts, we can't use any of those for tax deductions and all the expenses I got. So Marilee is the one. Marilee's my bookkeeper. She does all the books for us. So the very first thing, after we say our little hellos and kisses and all of that, she says, Jim, give me the receipts. Because if I don't have the receipts, I don't have tax, I don't. And Marilee, over the last 2 years, can I tell you something? Jim Shetler does not do good with receipts. Brother Shetler, have you ever tried like taking pictures? Oh, I've done that. That doesn't work either. I can't find a picture. That doesn't work. I'm terrible about receipts. And my wife goes, Jim, you got to keep the receipts. Now, let me tell you something. If you're running a business, you better keep, everyone together, if you're running a business, you better keep what? You better keep your receipts. But if you have a relationship, you better learn how to get rid of your receipts. Because some of you are keeping receipts on each other. And as soon as something happens, you got the books on them. Hey, don't forget, man, you owe me. I got the receipt right here. Remember what you said the other day? You owe me, man. And you know what forgiveness is? Forgiveness is the erasure of the receipts, of the debt. You know what? It's done. Now, this is going to be really good. This is going to help you the rest of your life. So don't keep receipts on each other. Look at the next one. Erase each other's debts quickly. Now, here it comes. Here it comes. Move on and let God be the judge. This is the key that people don't get a hold of in forgiveness. So they do this thing and they go like, okay, God, I forgive them. They don't owe me. The debt's been erased. There's the judicial act. There's the act. But like salvation, justification, we're declared righteous. But then we have sanctification, and that's a process. So here's how you handle forgiveness. You do have to have a moment in time that you ask for forgiveness, that you give forgiveness. God, they don't owe me. I erase the debt. I'm not keeping the receipts. But then here's what happens. You must give the court case to God. God, I am no longer the witness. I am no longer the jury. I'm no longer the prosecuting attorney. And I am no longer their judge. The court case is yours. Now listen, forgiveness is not forgetting, because you cannot forget. But forgiveness is not being the judge anymore. And very quickly, give me 5, 6, 7 minutes, and I'm going to help you with something that'll help you the rest of your life. There is a guy in the Bible. His name is Joseph. And he has went through all kinds of things with his family, with Potiphar's wife, with the prison, with all of these things. He is finally now raised to Zephaniah. He is the second most high person in the entire world, definitely in the Egyptian kingdom. And through interpreting Pharaoh's dreams, he has become now Zephaniah. He is given, what a picture of Christ in the church, he is given a Gentile, an Egyptian bride. They have two boys. The day comes to name the two sons. Now you guys got to get this. This is so good. The first son is named, anyone know? Manasseh. Everyone together, what is Joseph's first son name? Let me tell you what Manasseh means. To forget the toil of the past. His second son is named Ephraim. Means fruitful, bountiful. You cannot be bountiful and fruitful in your spiritual life until you've had a Manasseh. You got to deal with your past before you're going to be fruitful in your future. He had Manasseh, and then he had Ephraim. So what does it mean to have a Manasseh? It means he takes everything that Naphtali, Simeon, Judah, Levi, everyone, Reuben, he takes everything that his brothers did. He takes everything that Potiphar's wife did. He takes everything that was done in the prison. And he says, God, I'm having my Manasseh. I am no longer their judge. Brother Taylor, where are you getting all this? You just interpreting all this? No. End of the book, Genesis chapter 50. Jacob dies, dad dies. And when dad dies, the rest of the boys are thinking, he's going to kill us now. He was nice to us because dad was alive. But now that Jacob's dead, he's going to kill us. And Joseph starts crying. He says, guys, Genesis chapter 50. The thing is, problem is, you guys all know verse 20. You meant it unto me for evil, but God meant it on for me for good. But you didn't read verse 19. Because chapter 50, verse 19, it says, guys, I dealt with you when I had Manasseh. I am no longer in the place of God. I gave the court case to God. Guys, I dealt with you years ago when I had Manasseh, and it's all done. Guys, I am not your judge anymore. Now, let me tell you what I've learned. In 44 years of ministry, 43 years married, but 44 years in ministry, I'll tell you what I've learned. Some of you young ones aren't going to understand this, but I pray you'll never forget this statement, because there'll come a day you're going to go, you know what? That guy said that statement, and now I think I understand it. Listen to this. The longer I live, I have come to learn it is not what I remember that matters. It's what I decide to forget that matters. I do think Marilee and I have a really good marriage. But can I tell you why? You guys made a lot of memories together. Yeah. Yeah, we got those. But I don't think that's been the key to our marriage. I don't think the key to our marriage has been what memories we've made. I think the key to our marriage is what we decided to forget about each other. And guys, I will tell you, a good marriage is not what you remember about each other. A good marriage is what you decide to forget about each other. And you got to have a Manasseh. You got to just let it go. God, I am no longer their judge. The court case is yours. Brother Schellner, does it ever come back up? Yeah, it comes back up. But when it comes back, you go like, no, God, you got that court case. I'm not going through that anymore. You're their judge. I'm not their judge. I forgave them. And I got to tell you, you cannot have a family and you cannot have a marriage if you do not learn how to forgive. Remember all that Christ is. And now we talked about this really quick, but it's too important. We got to go back to. The basis to all forgiveness is what Christ has done for us. So let me tell you, no one on planet Earth has ever done anything to Jim Schettler that is worse than what Jim Schettler did to Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ forgave Jim Schettler of my sin, I can forgive anyone of whatever they do to me. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it is abuse. Nobody has ever done anything to me that is worse than what I did to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, that's Ephesians 4:32. And if Jesus Christ forgave me, for God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven me, I can forgive anyone of what they've done. No, nothing has happened in your marriage. Well, I caught him looking at pornography. And okay, now listen to me. Forgiveness is not the absence of consequences. Forgiveness is the restoration of a relationship. Okay, I cannot trust him anymore. We're putting things on his telephone. We're doing it. I'm all about that. But that doesn't mean you haven't forgiven him. You don't bring it back up and hold it over him, but you don't trust him. And maybe you've done some things, wife, you've done some things financially or whatever. Maybe you've had an emotional affair. Well, you know what? He may not trust you, but he can forgive you. It is so important to understand forgiveness is not the absence of consequences. It's the restoration of a relationship. There can still be consequences. Man, I raised three boys. I forgave them, but they got consequences for what they did. We moved on with life. We don't hold it over each other. Man, this is so important to understand. Remember all that Christ has forgiven you of. Okay. Most important action in the home is what? Everyone together. Most important action in your home is what? Forgiveness. Now, last thing and we're done, and it won't take long. The most important element in your home, God's grace. So I came from a broken home. My dad was very abusive, verbally and physically, never sexually or anything like that, but he was verbally, and I came from a very fractured, very conflict home. So now I'm marrying an MK, and I'm trying to know how in the world do I do this? So I start looking, and I start observing couples. And this started actually in college. When I would find a good married, I go like, man, they got that secret sauce, you know? I mean, they just got a marriage. I pray that I'll have a marriage like that one day. Man, look at this family. Look at their kids. Man, their kids all, man, they're just doing right, you know? They're just good kids. So you know what I started doing? I started asking questions. Hey, Brother Johnson, you and your wife just seem like you always enjoy each other. You always got your arm around her. You just seem like you're having a good time all the time. What's your secret recipe? What's your little sauce that you do in your marriage? Now, I got to tell you, I don't ask this of 10 couples. I do not ask this of a score of couples. I am telling you with a true honesty, we're looking at maybe 150 to 200 couples that I asked. I said, what's this? How do you do this? And they would give me some tips. They would say, you know, we have a date night every month, or we dealt with problems. We always resolve problems. And they would say something, but then the majority of them would say this. And when you started hearing this like one time, and then you hear it again, then you hear it again, then you hear it again, then you think like, oh yeah, there's something to this. And they would say, well, you know, Jim, my wife and I, we've always resolved our problems. We've always worked it out. Hey, Jim, I got to tell you, if we got a good marriage, to be perfectly honest, it'd be the grace of God. It'd be God's grace. Brother Shetler, I do think that we have some really wonderful children. But I got to tell you, you're asking me to, what did you do as a parent to get kids like this? I don't know. We did this, we did that. But I think more than anything else, if we've got good kids, it's only because of the grace of God. It wasn't because we were good parents. It was because God's grace. Well, you start hearing this all over the place. You can, God, well, I tell you what, if we got a good marriage, it's God's grace. Hey, listen, we got good kids. I'm telling you, and I'm not being false humbly. I'm telling you, if we got good kids, it's because of the grace of God. It isn't because we did this and we did that and we did that. It's God's grace. Well, as a young man, I started picking up. And you know, I'm not the sharpest pencil in the box, but I figured it out. You know what you need more than anything else, Jim, with Mary Lee? And you know what you're going to need the rest of your life more than anything else? You're going to need God's grace. You're going to need the grace of God. Well, then you start thinking, how do you get the grace of God? Now, help me out because you all know it. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the... And you start thinking, you know, God, the most important element in a marriage, the most important element in a home and a family is the grace of God. How do you get this grace? You get it by being humble. I pastored for 25 years. Trust me. One is down at this end of the couch in the office. The other is as far as way as they can get in the other end of the couch, or actually in another chair. And you're sitting there going like, oh boy, this is going to be a big one. And so then you start off and you ask the wife, what's wrong with the marriage? Why are you guys, you know, sitting so far apart? What's happening? And boy, she goes into it for 20 minutes. And I'm taking notes. I got 4 pages of legal pad and I'm writing stuff down. I'm going, this is what a jerk you are. Man, you are the biggest delinquent husband ever. And then we go to the husband. And for the next 15 minutes, he only gives me 2 pages, but they're like, whoa, I'm telling you, you're a witch, woman. You're unbelievable. And you start thinking, and you go, and it's just like, this is irreconcilable. They are so incompatible. There's just no hope. And you start thinking, and as a pastor, you start praying, God, would one of them just humble themselves? Would one of them just say, Pastor, you know what the problem is? It's me. And I want to ask you right now, will you forgive me for what I've done? Whoa! I don't need both of them. I just need one. Matter of fact, I'll tell you this. You give me one of the children in the home that gets right with God, it opens up the grace pipeline. You get kids come back from camp and they're right with God and they go home and they get things right with their parents, the grace starts flowing. I don't even need everybody in the family. I just need one to humble themselves. And if one person in the family humbles themselves, the grace pipeline opens up. And then the grace starts to pour. Folks, I want to tell you something. There is nothing. You guys have heard so much over the last 2 days from all the different panels, the split sessions, all the different. You guys have heard so much stuff. But I'll tell you what you need. You need the grace of God. What you need more than anything else is God's grace. And I'll tell you how you get it. You finally just swallow your pride. And you just say, dear God, I am so tired of conflict in my marriage. Well, then only by pride cometh contention. Humble yourself and just say, dear God, I know that I've had a bad spirit. I know that I've been just so ugly and angry. And God, I humble myself and I ask you to forgive me. And you get honest and you get humble. And when you do that, God just opens that thing up and the grace starts pouring on your family. And there is no element that you need greater in your home than God's grace. There's nothing you will ever do, no action you will ever do that's more important than forgiveness. There's no time that is more important than when someone else is speaking. There is no person that is more important than Jesus Christ. And there's no relationship that is more important than the relationship of the husband and wife. I'll tell you this. You get five things from a couple's advance. Man, the most important relationship is that person I'm with right now. Man, I got to tell you, Jesus Christ is going to become number one in our home and our family. Lord, I need to listen and be quiet. I need to listen to what's being said by my spouse, by my children. Lord, I need to make that a priority. Dear God, it's time to have a Manasseh today. And I come down and I give you the court case. I release them. I erase the debt that they owe me. And I show them Christ's love that you showed me. And God, I am no longer the judge. Here's the receipts. I don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. It's yours, God. And Lord, I come down to an altar and I humble myself. Because God, our marriage and our family needs your grace. It is the most important thing that we need. And the only way that we can get it is when we humble ourselves. So here's what I want to do. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some of you maybe just need to come down individually. But I would imagine many of you need to come down as a couple. And you just need to kneel down and you need to tell your spouse, honey, most important time now is going to be when someone else is speaking. I'm making a decision today as the head of this home. Jesus Christ now becomes the most important person in our family. And what we decide and what we do is to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. He has always present. We're both saved. Oh, he's predominant. We go to church all the time. But Christ has not been preeminent. And this morning, I say Christ becomes number one in our family. Hey, we need to make our, we've centered our whole lives on our children. And today we make a decision. That your relationship with me and my relationship with you is the most important relationship we're going to have in this home. And some of you need to come down to this altar and have a Manasseh. And say, God, I am no longer their judge. I leave it here. And by the way, it may not even be about anyone in your family. It may be about somebody that's hurt you in a church, somebody that's hurt you at your work, somebody, a relative, an aunt, an uncle, a sibling, a parent, whatever. And some of you are struggling because you're carrying that stuff. Would you leave the receipts at the altar today? And would you just say, God, today I'm having my Manasseh. And whenever it comes back up in my mind, in my heart, I say, no, I'm not the judge anymore. I gave that court case on that couple's advance thing. I am no longer. And dear God, I come down to the altar because I want to humble myself. I'm not a guy that comes down very often. But God, we need your grace in our marriage. We need your grace in our home. And I want to lead by humbling myself and coming down and kneeling and saying, dear God, I want it. So I don't know what God talked to you about today. But if God has spoken to you about a specific area to make as importance and make it as a priority, I want to encourage you, either as an individual or as a couple, to come on down and seal it. I just think it'd be so cool. And by the way, even if it's maybe you got to make the decision, you still might want to grab a hold of the spouse just to keep accountable to that. And just say, hey, I want to go down and pray. And I want to humble myself because you know what? Today, Jesus becomes the most important person in our marriage and in our family. Today, I ask for a Manasseh. You know, it's not even with you, honey. It's, you know what it is. It's from my own family from way back. But today I have my Manasseh because it's affecting our marriage right now. And I leave it at the altar. Hey, God spoke to your heart. Would you come? Would you just get up? Come on down. And whatever area God just spoke to your heart about, you just take some time and you pray about that. God spoke to you. You come.